morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunshiny day. I'm really glad to have you here. I have a few short announcements. One, and like most importantly, craft show is coming up. Like, it's coming up Saturday. And that means that the Women Association needs baked goods by Friday. Is that right, BJ? And you'll be here at like what, after 3:30 on Friday? So there will be some folks from the Women's Association here after 3:30 on Friday for some to collect your baked goods so that we can sell them. And so, and they'll be setting up too, but I think we all know the baked goods are the most important part. So also, I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to be traveling this week. I'm going to be traveling to Albuquerque. I've been summoned to the Presbytery of Santa Fe. And so I'll be leaving on Wednesday morning. I'll be back the following Monday. I will still have access to my phone and email, but I just won't be in the office. So just so you know that. And then finally, we have a guest today. Officer Cook from the Shaler Police Department is here. He, along with the other officers throughout the, is it just the state or the country?
I think
it is through the country, but they're just making this intentional effort to reach out to the community, let you know that they're around. Personally, I'm here often, and I often see one of the cruisers in the parking lot, and it makes me feel good. But Officer Cook will be in the back if you want to, give him a hello or whatever you want to talk to him about after worship. Okay. Any other announcements? Carol? Thank yous? Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, man. I didn't write it down, is why. I also wanted to, if we could all give a nice thank you to Mike Love and Roy Weckerly. They helped us out, especially in the library. There were some tiles that needed painting and some insulation that needed to be put up and some lights that needed to be replaced. And our very own Roy and Mike really helped us out a lot, and that helped us. So thank you. All right, anything else? Fantastic. With that, let us gather our hearts and minds and proclaim our readiness to worship God. Come and see what God has done. God is awesome in good deeds. God turned the sea into dry land. God's people passed through the river on foot. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. If you could please rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn, Let the Whole Creation Cry. Thank you. Friends, we come to confession not to wallow in our guilt, but because we know change starts with being honest. In a desire to grow and change, let us confess our sins to our loving God. Jesus, have mercy on us. We keep our distance from you, for we are broken and sick with sin. Yet you see us and cleanse us and make us whole. Forgive us when we forget to return to you. Have mercy when we fail to praise your name, and help us exude the faith that makes us well. Hear the good news. Your call has been answered. Christ has healed you and forgives your sin. With glad hearts, let us return praise to God. Let us now gather together and profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. So please be seated for our choir's anthem. Friends, why don't we gather together our prayers of concern and joy. I have a few here for you. One from Kathy Sagi, from her friend Herschel and Lauren. They were victims of the apartment complex fire in Ross Township. And luckily, their apartment, neither one of them were injured, and their apartment only suffered major smoke damage. But this is still a large emotional toll and on people who are already struggling a lot. I also ask for your prayers for our executive presbyter, Sheldon Sorge. He is working on transitioning into retirement, and so if we could just pray for him and for the rest of the presbytery, that would be fantastic. I also ask that you lift up in prayer Florida, Puerto Rico, Cuba, all of those that are suffering from national disasters. Please pray with me. Lord, to whom we give our praise and thanks, we know you do not leave those suffering disaster alone and bereft. We remember the places struggling to survive disasters, those suffering, injured, and dying in the war in Ukraine, those in Puerto Rico, Cuba, Florida, and others who have suffered the devastating destruction of hurricanes, those still suffering the after effects of flooding in Pakistan, those in Jackson, Mississippi, and everywhere at home and abroad who do not have safe drinking water, those suffering and dying in the heat waves that continue to hit across the Northern Hemisphere. Do not forsake them, but speak into these circumstances of suffering your word of hope, word of comfort, and word of life. Lord, we seek and pray for your shalom, peace, and prosperity for all the earth. We remember the leaders of our state, city, and neighborhoods. Grant them the spirit of courage and faithfulness that they may work for the peace of all those they serve. We remember first responders and all those bringing aid, support, and comfort to places of destruction and crisis. Grant them your strength and be present in their work. Lord, we seek and pray for your shalom, peace, and prosperity for all the earth. We remember those who suffer in body and mind, those discouraged or in pain, those oppressed or in need, those waiting and keeping watch, calling on you for healing for themselves or their loved ones. Lord, we seek and pray for your shalom, peace, and prosperity for all of the earth. We remember all the saints who have gone before us, our loved ones who have died, and we trust will live with you. Make us also your workers, unashamed of your truth. We ask that you hear all of our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our hymn of praise. Our God is an awesome God. Please be seated. We bring nothing into this world, and when we depart from this life, we will take nothing out of it. All we have is a gift from God. Therefore, let us return to God our tithes and offerings in joyful thanksgiving. Gives life to all things and richly provides us with everything. Use these, our offerings, to take hold of and show us the life that really is. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning is from Jeremiah 29, 1, 4 through 7. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it is for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. These are your words, O God. Humble us to speak their weight. Strengthen us to hear their truth. Unbind us to live their call. Amen. So over the last few weeks, as I've been settling in and understanding, you know, my extended hours and you know, figuring out what I'm doing here, I've been thinking about ways that we might be able to reach out, tell more people about our beautiful little church. And part of that was, looking through books and photos, pamphlets, you know, all of those sorts of things, just sort of seeing what we already have. And I will say that it was pretty obvious to me, like even when I first started as an intern, that the history of this church and its people is really important to all of you. But I don't think that I really understood why your history means so much to you until I had the opportunity to sort through those photos and books. I'll be honest here, I experienced a bit of nostalgia for something that I didn't even experience myself. I found pictures of pews that were just packed to the gills. Picnics that were so large that food-filled tables had to be set up outside. Actual youth at actual events. kiddos on the chancel steps sitting shoulder to shoulder for a chance to listen at the children's sermon. And I really got the impression that during that time, it was really easy to see God in your midst. And now, we're all kind of wondering what happened, and is God still with us? And I also remember, you know, growing up and the good old days of church. Everyone I knew growing up belonged to a church and attended church regularly. We're not really sure what happened, but I assure you, this is not the only church experiencing decline in membership. Churches of all denominations throughout the entire country are noticing the difference. So while I was reading through scripture this week, I heard God speaking to us in 2022 through Jeremiah. Stick with me for just a second. Jeremiah is writing in 597 BCE. He's writing to the first wave of Judean people who were exiled to Babylon. The people had to move about 900 miles from their familiar homes to a new culture with strange food, strange languages, customs, and to top it off, they're surrounded by temples to other deities, and the people around them have priorities that are vastly different than their own. The Judean people moved from centuries of tradition that fostered their wealth and their power, and they moved to an unknown and an uncertain way of living as minority people. Everything about the way that they live has changed. This is disorienting and sad and lonely. There are a lot of psalms written about this time, and I'm particularly struck by Psalm 137. It was written about this time, and it shows us the absolute deep lament that the exiled people felt. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Maybe you're thinking, I kind of had this thought, like, all right, like, what's the big deal here? I mean, it would be awful. It would be awful to be kicked out of my home and sent to another country. But isn't it just a little bit dramatic to say that you can't even sing to God because you're in a different country? It's not that they're just in a different country. They're in a pagan land. They no longer have access to Mount Zion and the temple. The understanding at that time was that God lives in the temple, and God doesn't have a car, so God doesn't drive to visit people very much. The practice was that the people went to God. God did not come down to the people. And here's the thing. Earlier in the book, Jeremiah warned the people that God would not tolerate the ways that they were abusing their power. God was not cool with the ways that the poor and the powerless were being oppressed, and that there would be repercussions for cheating orphans and defrauding widows. But instead of listening to Jeremiah, the people sought out other prophets. prophets, who told them what they wanted to hear, who told them that as long as the temple is well kept and the sacrifices and the festivals are observed, God would never, never let anything happen to the temple or the city. Spoiler alert, the people are exiled and the temple is destroyed by their captors. But even in exile, people are still listening to the false prophets, telling them exactly what they want to hear. Don't worry about it, Babylon's gonna fall. They'll all be returning to Judah any minute now. Jeremiah has to tell them the bad news. Jeremiah never has any good news, to be honest. Jeremiah is telling them, you're going to want to buckle in. This is going to be a long ride. God sent us to exile here. We should just act like settlers. We're not short-term tourists here. We will be all returned to Israel. God's faithful in God's promises. But it's not going to be anytime soon. You may not see it. Now, comparing exile to what we're experiencing today, it's a bit of a hyperbole. But I think we can certainly empathize with the feeling of loss that these Israelites have. That homesickness, the longing to go back to where and when we felt God's presence. We were so sure of it. This confusion around us regarding this changing culture of kids these days, different priorities, soccer games. I don't know, maybe you personally feel like you've been exiled from God. You feel lonely or experience a broken relationship or poverty, a physical or mental illness. I think it's pretty natural. It's understandable. It's an understandable desire to want to go back to the past, to those programs and studies and activities that we know, that we were familiar with, that worked, that we're comfortable with. That's not what God told the exiled people. And I hate to be the Jeremiah here, but that's not what God's telling us today. God tells these people who are removed from their homes that they can, and they should, worship God. Their lives shouldn't stop because they're not in the same place they used to be. They need to live and serve the places in which we all find ourselves. We can't just sit around waiting and wishing for the optimal solution and situation. Jeremiah provides very specific, practical ways of living. Construct some homes. Plant food. I know it's food that you're not used to and it seems weird, but plant it anyway because it grows here. Settle into the land. Build your families. Create a community of faith. Take those harps down from the willow trees. Sing new songs of praise to God in this strange, strange land. And then Jeremiah says that God tells them to go even one step further than that. Pray for peace and prosperity among the Babylonians. You know, their heathen captors, people who destroyed their temple. Oh, that's some hard stuff to do right there. They're going to be captive there for a few generations, and the more peaceful and prosperous the Babylonians are, better off everyone is, including the captors. God's blessing for the exiles will come, but it's not in the way that anybody had hoped. We think that we have ways, we know how we want to be blessed and how God should bless us. That's not always the way that God has it planned. The blessing for the Israelites comes in the form of adjusting to rather than escaping from their present situation. Blessing meant coming to terms with the present and praying for those people that they would rather disdain. And you know, history shows us that there was actually a lot of good that came from this period of exile. Israel wrestled with God and their questions about God. They learned that worship can happen anywhere, not just in the temple. Synagogues became a vital part of the Jewish community. Much of the Hebrew Bible that we know today was formed during this period. It was a time of huge change that affects even the way that you and I understand and worship God today. We might think that we're not in the optimal space to worship God correctly, but I'm here to tell you that there is no one correct way to worship God. We think the church is dying because there are fewer people here. We don't have the same kinds of activities. We don't have as many children. And maybe we feel that we have been exiled and that we're missing out on God's blessing. We miss our past, yeah. And that's okay. But I'm here to tell you, God has got much, much bigger plans in store for us. We know that Jesus' salvation will come. We know we are blessed and challenged to embrace the place where God has us right now. We are blessed and challenged to find ways to be faithful in our living. We are blessed and challenged to build homes, plant gardens, grow families, and pray for our enemies. And in doing all of these things, others might inquire about our inspiration, our resolve, our trust. And they too might come into a blessed relationship with God in exile. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our closing hymn, Happy the Home When God Is There.
Thank you.
Before we head back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. Friends, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. May the Sovereign Lord bless you, may the Christ of mercy keep you, and the Holy Spirit sustain you in this life and the life to come. Amen.